Very good! Ed Berry on the buzzer! What an
Making big shots.
Davis to reply. Yes, he hits a three! 3 3-pointers in quick succession at either end of the floor. The Rocks have it now.
Durham brings it cross mid-court. He's getting harassed by Evans. They still have fouls to give Cheshire. Here's Sloan to the basket. Out to Oymaz. Sloan in the corner for the win. Oh! Can you believe it? David Sloan wins it on the buzzer. And the Caledonian Gladiators go wild.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Glasscast Basketball Podcast. We are back for another weekly rendition. And Mitchell, I've not told you this yet, but we're going to go with the tag name for the weekly show of Gladiators. Are you ready? So the weekly show has a name for now. It could change. Open to suggestions. As I just said, Mitchell is back. We've had a crazy week in the land of British basketball. Teams seem to be beating everyone. The Gladiators went 1-1 from the week, as we know. So, yeah, Mitchell, how's the week been?
Yeah, it's been a pretty crazy week, not just with our games, obviously with preparations for what's coming up. As of next week, both men's and women's teams in the Gladiators camp are moving into Europe for the first time in club history, and also for the first time for the season. So it'll be a really fascinating experience to see how both teams do.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to touch on all that. We on the Gladcast last night, I recorded, I hinted towards it last week, a show with FIBA commentator Josh Bett previewing the Gladiators' adventures and of their opponents, which you'll be able to listen to in advance of the games on Wednesday. So it'll probably drop at the same time as this. So you might have already listened to it before you've listened to this. So, yes. As you say, Mitchell, Gladiators, are you ready? Let's talk about Plymouth then. Interesting game on Thursday night. The Gladiators came out on top 99-83 in what at some stages proved to be a really up-and-down battle. Plymouth won the first quarter through Taylor Johnston, who finished the game with 26 points. He did score a lot of them in the first quarter. After that, the Gladiators kind of had control, and by halftime, we did go in up. So the Gladiators came out 99-98, led by game MVP Ian DeBoss, but also very amply supported by the vast majority of the roster. What did you think of the game, Mitchell?
The Plymouth game was a game that on paper you would think would be an absolute blowout. You look at the roster we had, the depth of talent we have, and that's nothing against Plymouth. Plymouth had some very good veteran players on that roster and some good young guys that came through. But we should have, on paper, for most of our fans, would have thought, oh, it'd be a 30-point blowout. But Plymouth didn't let that happen. They put on a really good game. They made it a really challenging contest for us, and they kept it close for a lot of the game. They kept fighting. They kept pushing. And some of our scouting worked, some of it really didn't. So we touched on it last week about the main threats for us, for the Gladiators to try and stop. And one of them was Mason Faulkner, who we held in 32 minutes to 11 points. I think that's a really good effort. Problem with it was that Taylor Johnson and TG Atwood both had 26. So it was...
But I think we touched on it last week of being kind of one of those games where the aim is to stop at least one of those. Okay, Mason Faulkner became a secondary player in terms of, well, he got 7 rebounds, 7 assists. He then had 3 turnovers. But it very much felt like a game that we hit the biggest lead of 18 points and then tumbled down to basically a 2-shot game heading into the fourth quarter before we kind of stretched it back up. The support cast off the bench of Clifton Moore and Trent Buttrick both getting 13. But it did at times feel that the game was just going to always be ours because Plymouth played a lack of team defense. There was a moment in the game where DeAndre Johnson for them went up and down the floor 3 times just without defending his man, and then jacked up a three and scored it. And that kind of sums up how Plymouth are as a team. We see them getting absolutely blown out by Bristol, but I believe that Bristol's kind of just their kind of bogey team this year. But from our point of view, there's going to be a game that someone comes up to East Kilbride or on the road that we just put away comfortable. We seem to be quite, we take a lead and we seem to let teams back in. And it, I suppose this is where you look at your experienced players, Pat Whelan, Farrell Elgic, to kind of step up, to kind of be the ones that doesn't allow that to happen. So that's one thing I'm really inclined or interested to see what happens over the coming weeks.
I 100% agree with you on that one. I think that the challenge for us now is we clearly have shown we are capable of winning games, but we can't maintain leads for long periods of time without letting other teams back in. Mm-hmm. And as many fans of basketball will know, and I've heard the phrase, the game is a game of runs.
Yep.
And all it takes is one really bad run and a team's right back in it. And that we've had two games now at home that both had that same issue. If we want to be competing for a top four spot, if not higher in the league, we need to be more consistent on that front and be better.
Yeah, we seem to also be a team quite high in turnovers. In this game, it was a bit more spread throughout everyone, where Sunday's game was maybe a bit more one-sided. And it's just interesting to see where this team goes. You can tell you've still got players like Kyle Johnson working his way into full health. We've seen the improvement in Trent Buttrick. We've seen the improvement in Mihailo, the contribution from the bench of someone like a Fraser Malcolm at both ends of the floor. And it's just almost waiting for a game where this all just clicks. And Plymouth was always going to be a sticky one because of the way they play. It's a bit frantic offense, defense is limited. So for guys who, like some of our guys who are used to a very structured system, playing against a kind of chaos offense, it's really tough. Like you, from a three-point point of view, it felt like Taylor Johnson could do anything and score. Faulkner, it did feel like at times, but what Plymouth did really well first half was they played that extra pass, which really then irritated our defence. So it was one of these games where, yeah, we won it, but we got a big lead of 18 and didn't just put them away. So it'll be really, really interesting to see going forward at home how we put that one away.
100% agree with you on that one. Only other thing I have to say, free throws need to be better. We're missing 9 for the game. We're at 71%. It's fine for that result, but for more higher competition, we can't be missing that many free throws.
Yeah, but I always think if you're shooting over 70% for a team, it's not far off being really good. So I don't mind that as such. I think we saw the defensive presence, or the offensive presence inside of Farrell and Clifton Moore. Trent Buttrick is brilliant from the free throw line. He himself said he needs to improve it as just putting the ball in the basket from close around the hoop. So I think that was one of these games where he's made good threes, made his three throws, but couldn't buy a layup. So, I mean, games like this give us things to see and hopefully to work on. Yes. So, Mitchell, what we're going to have now, we're going to listen to some of the interviews I did post-game. We're going to hear firstly from Paul James, Plymouth coach, and how their season's going. We'll then hear from game MVP Ian DeBoss before hearing from Coach Murray. Coach Paul James, tough loss on the road. I thought you guys really started really well. How would you sum that one up?
Yeah, it says a tough loss. I feel that we played well for three quarters, I think. The first quarter, I thought we were excellent. Yeah, probably the best basketball we've played all season so far. You know, turning down good shots to take better shots and really shared the ball well. Defensively, we were flying around. Second quarter, we didn't do that as much and we stopped sharing the ball like we did in the first quarter. So, you know, we've got to find a way to really value everybody's successes while we're out there and not stop doing what we're doing to get those leads. But apart from that, I was delighted with the way we kept going to the bitter end. It could have been a blowout game. You know, we got it back to single figures with, 2-3 minutes to go and a couple of shots in four for us. But no, you know, we're getting there. We're moving forward. You know, we've still got some pieces we're going to have to sort out within the team. But, you know, I say that it was a good effort tonight.
Yeah, you had two guys getting 26 points and Taylor Johnson and TJ Atwood. Taylor Johnson had a brilliant first half.
He did. You know, he's one of those guys who is very direct. He's a nightmare to guard at times, really. He never stops moving. So, you know, I thought he did great. You know, TJ Atwood's been on fire of late as well. And I think it's one of those things that once we get everybody really performing like they can do, I think we'll be a very, very competitive team. At the moment, we've got two players here, three players there, and I'm not really getting five or six guys sort of contributing. So that's something we're going to have to work on. But, you know, look, we scored 84 points tonight. That should keep you in the game. I thought Caledonia shot the lights out in that third quarter. Which kept us at bay. But no, I thought it was a good game of basketball.
What are you guys looking to improve on for the next game?
I just think that, you know, we showed tonight that when we share the ball and we move and we're about it defensively, that, you know, we're very good. We can be a very good team. So it's being in those moments for longer periods of the game.
Yeah.
And if we can do that, you know, we'll win a few games. So, yeah, that's what we have to focus on.
Yeah, your first time, obviously, in here. What do you make of this facility?
Amazing. Absolutely fantastic, you know, facility. And, you know, for a basketball player, if you come here and you're not motivated to play, then you never will be. So it's a really great atmosphere. No, fantastic.
BJ, thank you for your time and all the best for the rest of the season.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
And we joined post-game with Game MVP, Ian DeBoss. Ian, brilliant game. How do you think it went?
We'll take the win. It was a really good team effort by us. We executed defensively. We had really good spurts. And it's great to build momentum and get two home wins in a row, for sure.
Good individual performance for you. Top scoring for the team tonight. What really got your flow going?
For me, just making the right play consistently. And today it led to points. Just making the right reads, watching film, and taking it back and just doing what the team needs me to do. And it led to that performance. And that's all it is.
Yeah. Plymouth came out looking really good first quarter. They moved the ball pretty well, took that extra pass. What was coach saying to you during the first quarter and into the second quarter to kind of step up?
Yeah, I mean, credit to them, man. They were really good offensive attack this game. They made shots. And for us, as a team unit, we executed defensively. We turned up our intensity. And we just made the right adjustments. Our coach came in the huddle and told us the adjustments we need to make. And we made them, and it led us to make a run.
It was the start of that fourth quarter where the game kind of began to go out to kind of double figures. And it looked like the game was won. You guys were making some really nice shots. What was it that you guys kind of kept that focus going throughout the game?
Honestly, once you get stopped defensively, the offense gets a lot easier. Just taking that momentum from defense and carrying the offense. And just for us, just making open shots that we get. We have a lot of talented guys. And spreading the wealth, and a lot of guys made the shots when they got them, and that's what we're looking to do, for sure.
Sheffield on Sunday, what should we expect from them?
I actually personally don't know too much about them yet, but we want to research them, and I know the coaches have film and film scout everything preparing for them, but I know they're a good club. We're preparing really well and just going to bring our fight and take the mistakes from this game, take the good things from this game, and improve the mistakes and make our strengths even better for next game.
Well done tonight, Ian. Well done.
All right, thank you.
All right, we're joined post-game with Coach Murray. Gareth, a win in the end, probably should have been by more. Sum that one up.
Yeah, we knew Plymouth were going to come out and they were going to have a hot start. They started every game. They made tough shots at the beginning. We just knew keep it close at the beginning, and then our defense should take over, and our physicality in the paint should take over. And we got 24 free throws in the first half, opening up the lead a little bit. And then the second half, we knew once again we could get any shot we wanted. It was more of a focus on defense, right? We had a goal of 75 points. We scored 83. It's not the worst, but it's the timing of it. It's the timing of being a close game when it really shouldn't have been. It should have been a 25-point win, really. That's where I'm a bit more disappointed. I was hoping to rotate a bit more. But overall, guys are sharing the basketball. We're making shots. Trent made three layups. He might have 30 points, you know. So overall, I'm happy that we won. Obviously, home court, we always protect. We win games even when it's not as good as we'd hoped to be. But now we know we've got a challenge in Sheffield, and now on Sunday where they play defense and they have some weapons offensively around the rim. They've got guys on the perimeter that can take you off the dribble. So this will be a completely different game from tonight.
Is this the type of game that you've recruited these guys for, that a bit more of a structured game, both teams, that we should see guys like Lucas, maybe Mihailo, really step up?
Yeah, definitely. Sheffield is a team that we know, and they play basketball, right? They play structured basketball. They share the ball, they have defensive concepts, they know what they're trying to get offensively. It's just more a style of basketball that Atiba's put in, and he's had that style of basketball
forever,
right? So the guys know what they're trying to do, they know what shots they're trying to get. Now it's about us being able to stop them and then be able to score on their defense. And their defense has been, they always want to play slow, they want to bring the score down, and they're good at holding the tempo. Completely different to this Plymouth game, where Plymouth, they want to play fast, they want to take, if they're open they'll shoot the ball, doesn't matter who it is. So it's a very opposites game.
Ian was given MVP tonight. He kind of had a very well-rounded performance. He's really been the one that I think coming in season was a wee bit slower, but now he's kind of hit the ball running in the league.
Yeah, I think he's definitely stepped up defensively for me tonight. We told him they had to guard Faulkner, so take him out of the game. We know you can score the ball, you can distribute the ball, but you need to be able to lock him up tonight, and I think he did a good job on that.
Was that one of the kind of missions coming into the game, at least stop one or two of their kind of main three guys?
It was meant to be three. It was meant to be Atwood, it was meant to be Tyler Johnson, and it was supposed to be Faulkner. Faulkner we did a good job on. Johnson, you know, he's hitting threes in transition, he's getting downhill, a couple of easy ones he shouldn't have. Atwood, he's one of them guys that's really a three man, but he's playing with four, yeah. So he's everything's really mid-range, and we kind of... without saying it, but we want to give him mid-range shots, so he makes tough mid-range shots, which is sometimes you have to live with the contested ones, but I thought the catches were too easy for me. He got to his spots too easily, so just making things more difficult. And, like, we won the game, yes, but we scored the ball easily, but now it's can we improve when it's tough, when it's like a close game? Can we execute plays? Can we get stops when we needed them? Yeah. So that's what we're working on.
So obviously we've got Sheffield, but we've also got the first kind of Europe Cup game as well. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing there'll be no thoughts ahead of that one until after Sheffield, but how excited is it for you to be kind of taking the team into the Europe Cup?
Yeah, amazing. Like, honestly, like, imagine like a year ago everything no said, sense, like, yeah. it was not even on the horizon. It was never playing in Europe, having your own arena till September, October last year, like that came into actually this could be possible. And then again, in end of the season last year, we're like, oh, we don't know if we'll be playing Europe until the following year. Yeah. We don't know if the arena will be ready, blah, blah, blah. So, like, to be here with the team we have, with the facilities we have, to us playing in European competition this year, it was always going to be a tough group that we had. It's tough games, right? These guys have. And we won the competition last year. Bilbao is a top six team in the Spanish ACB. Sibiu is probably the one that's a little bit more unknown to us. That's maybe.
But it's a long road trip.
It's a long road trip, and they have some experienced guys in the team that's played this competition before. So we're happy to be there, but we're not content with just going and playing. Right? We want to be competitive. We want to try to win games. We're preparing for the future. It's not just this year, it's preparing for the future. Like, for me, the Bristol winning the other day was amazing for British basketball. All these agents that are saying, oh, the British League is this, the British League is that, we don't want to send our players there, and then Bristol go to Bulgaria and beat a team. Now, I don't know what level that team is, but I don't care, it doesn't bother me. They're in European competition and they're beating teams, and hopefully this league starts to raise the profile and players will start getting sent here that really, this league is talented. There's a lot of talented players. For us, it's now about making that league a bit more structured. And I think there's probably seven teams that are trying to do that. I think the talent is there. Now it's the coaching and the structure of the league to make it more European style instead of just running up and down. I think we're getting there.
Right, coach, good win in the end. Always good to defend home court, and good luck with Sunday.
Thank you very much.
Perfect. So after the highs of Thursday night at home to the Plymouth City Patriots, and we travelled on the road to play Sheffield in their brand new facility, very Emirates Arena-esque in terms of layout of side walls. Unfortunately, the Sheffield Sharks got in the end a very easy victory, 96-78, and an 18-point victory. The Gladiators scored the first 4 points of the game before Sheffield kind of just took the lead and stormed away with it. The Sharks were led by kind of 14 points from Kipper Nicol. He was phenomenal. Being back, it was interesting that Sheffield didn't recruit him early on, or if he maybe had other options, because since he's come back into the rotation, they're a much improved team. You saw the way they shared the ball with Pipkins, Ramsey, Bennett Cook, Ratinho. Everyone contributed for them, and it made for a fabulous team of performance. From a Gladiators' point of view, there was very... Ian DeBos continues to impress, 20 points, 2 rebounds, 7 assists, however, 8 turnovers. The team in general that match had 21 turnovers, which is never good, and Sheffield converted 22 points off those turnovers. You look at other bright sparks for the Gladiators in that game, you had the bench presence of Trent Buttrick for another 14 points, 6 rebounds, and 16 points, 4 assists for Mihailo Jovicic. So, Mitchell, you were there. Give us a quick view of Sheffield's new facility before your kind of views in the game.
Okay. The medical arena that we went into, it did have vibes similar of the Emirates. But it was good to see how they operated and see how the kind of setup worked. It's all very clean, very welcoming. It's a pretty good fan experience. The noise in there is pretty damn good. Max capacity in there is probably 2,500 maybe at full capacity if you filled that out. But the crowd were behind the whole way. Presentation was done really well, and it was very much felt like a really strong home court, and that translated onto the game. Sheffield did Sheffield things. They played really good pressure defense. They made everything tough for us, and we really struggled at times, as you said, with the turnovers. Their team basketball was really good to watch. You saw every single person on the Sheffield roster scored last night. And then on top of that, you've got five guys in double digits. I still stand by that Ramsey's for Sheffield is one of my favourite players to watch in terms of pressure on defence, his unselfish play on offence. He's not trying to score every basket. He's trying to play a very good team style. He led the way really well and made it very difficult for the likes of Jovicic and for DeBose to really dictate the game very much. As a result of that, we kind of struggled to find very much momentum. And after a pretty bad first quarter, we couldn't really catch up.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the first quarter. We didn't win any of the four quarters in the game. Sheffield, as you said, do Sheffield things. They're constantly active on defense. But the major change that happened last year when they brought in Ramsey and Pipkins, which has definitely helped them settle in when you look at the fact that all five of their starters are returners, is the difference Pipkins makes to that offense in terms of spacing on the floor. They made the roster lineup go a bit smaller. And adding back in Kipper Nichols was 100%. 6-6, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. It was almost the perfect performance for him. And probably something I've said many times about Kipper Nichols, he does that game. Next game, he'll be lucky to get 2 or 3 points. Mm-hmm. So it's very much seemed that their team emphasis really helped them and they took it away from us. And didn't allow us the easy looks maybe that we had against Plymouth or even Surrey the week before. But it definitely felt like Sheffield were just every little bit in every area that little bit better. Their team defence was phenomenal. They'll be delighted that they've kept us to 2 quarters underneath 20 points, for example. Mm-hmm. They've kept us less than 80 points. And it'll be interesting to see how the team bounce back from this one. This one's got the makings of being a really, really, really interesting series between the two teams. And hope by someone as well, you'd expect with the way that the Gladiators have recruited that we should be beating.
I agree. I think that they'll have a lot of positives to take. And it's not very often you see Sheffield score 96 points in a game.
Exactly.
So I think that there's plenty of things that we can learn from that game, plenty we can use to try and grow. And the turnaround time is very short. We play them next Sunday at home and we have a very short period of time to reflect on the game, see what did well, what didn't do well, and try and identify a bit more what we can do to get better. And can we fit into our system better? Can we match them on defense and prove just as much of a problem as they are for us?
Yeah, but I also don't think it's going to be... When are we going to see again where both our two big guys and Farrell and Clifton combine for 1 point and 8 rebounds?
That was something. That's very amazing.
But it's also the fact that they only took 2 shots between them, which is also something that was interesting in how we didn't really find them in offense. We saw a lot more shots for Lucas, Trent, Mihailo when he was on, but a lot of them were down the stretch. The boss did well in his kind of shots. Very much felt like, well, yeah, just looking at now, we had 59 shots compared to 65 by them. They shot 53%, we shot 47, but they've taken more shots than us. So those turnovers, 21 to, well, they had 10 turnovers to our 21. Mm-hmm. Astronomical differences that kind of swing the game. So it's going to be interesting to see, and we'll preview that game in a minute. Big improvements. I don't know if Sharks can be better than that. They were pretty good. But loads of kind of opportunities for the Gladiators to step up.
100%.
So let's look, Let's look on to the new week. Not only is it, as we've touched on, a massive week in terms of European action for the club, we've got the home game in which the Gladiators take on Benfica in the FIBA Euro Cup. The women's team kicked that off on Wednesday evening, in which promises to be an absolute spectacle, having someone of the sheer size of Benfica coming to Glasgow. The men team are away to Romania, in which Mitch has already said is going to be a crazy commute through, what was that, 3-4 countries technically?
Yeah, maybe three countries,
which is crazy. So one of the longest commutes possible. And we'll, as I said, I previewed these games with Josh Bett for the men. But how exciting is it to see our women's team, the first, I think, Scottish team in Europe for over 50 years? I think I saw Donnie post that on social media. It was 51 years ago a Scottish team last competed in a women's European event.
It's massive. And what a better way to open up the women's season than with a massive game. It's going to be really good to see the women on the floor. I'm hoping, as much as we have a game on that night, I'm hoping I'll be able to catch some of the game later on to see how they do.
Because it's what, a 3.5-hour time difference between tip and tip?
Yeah, something like that. So hopefully, we're what, 2 hours ahead, I think? I think we're 2 hours difference with us. So hopefully that will mean we'll be able to catch some of it, because I'm really interested how it goes. The women's team, I've not seen them since last week when I talked about them, and I have no doubt they'll be even better than they were. It's a big opportunity for them to make their mark on the international stage and get the Gladiators' name out there beyond our own walls. And hopefully we've got a good crowd to back them up as well. No doubt a lot of people will come out to see this one, because it's not often that a team like Benfica will grace the walls of the amphitheatre.
Yeah, and this will be the first officially recognised game for the girls in there. As I said, we've both said we've seen them practice before. It's an exciting group, a really high energy group, and it's going to just be fun to see them play.
100%. I can't wait for their season to get started.
Yeah, so let's now touch on that. So the league season kicks off for the women on Sunday, and it is the second game of a doubleheader on Sunday, which will be the first doubleheader of the new facility, which will be pretty awesome. The men tip off on Sunday at 3, followed by 6 o'clock by the women playing against the Durham. So let's preview that. Let's look forward to that. We're obviously always, and I think I've said this with a couple of people at least before, it's always difficult to predict and see what other women's British Basketball League teams have recruited. But you'd expect the Gladiators women to have, with the sheer volume and talent they've now got, to dispose of Durham at home pretty comfortably. And that's hopefully not being disrespectful to Durham. But what do you think we can expect from that whole doubleheader?
I think the doubleheader experience will be a good one for us. Behind the scenes, it's going to be a really interesting challenge of seeing how we juggle two games one after another, back-to-back, with a very short turnaround time. In terms of the games themselves, they're both very interesting games. I mean, obviously for us, for the men's side anyway, it's a round two, hopefully a revenge for the Sunday just passed. For the women, it's their tip-off for their first game in the league, and it's their first real test. Durham, Cameron, where did Durham finish last year? Do you remember?
I don't remember, actually. Let me just check.
Let's see. Last season, they finished ninth in the league.
So they missed the playoffs.
Yeah, so they got knocked out in the first round of the trophy and the quarterfinals of the cup. They won 9, lost 13. I'm pretty sure one of those 9 was against us when we played them down there. I'm pretty sure
it was a CCTV camera game.
Ah, that was the one. I remember that one. I tried to watch that one along. That was interesting. But it'll be interesting to see, because as much as we would expect to win from the talent we have with the Gladiators roster, the main thing we have to keep an eye on is if Durham step up in this moment, or if the women's team get caught like a deer in headlights.
Yeah.
Because it is their first home league game. It won't be their first game in the arena, thankfully. They will have had their European game prior. But sometimes with teams that are maybe lower in the league than you're used to, you play to their level. If that's the case, it'll be made into a really good game and a really close game. Probably not the start that this women's team should have or that we should expect them to have. So I would hope it should be a comfortable win for the Gladiators.
So yeah, let's now touch on the men's game. It's almost going to be seen as redemption, a wee bit trying to redeem the kind of head-to-head or to at least level it out and also to try and level the points. We're looking ahead to the table, I suppose. But there's a lot, as we've already touched on, that the guys could do better.
Oh, yeah. And there was plenty of smack talk after the game. I promise you that, of some of our players talking to some fans that were jeering us after the game, saying, just wait until they come up to Glasgow next week. So the guys are driven to be better than they were this week. And I wouldn't put it past them. As we had last year coming up to Glasgow or East Kilbride in this case, and this season, it's not an easy task. We had one of the best home records in the league last year. So far, we're undefeated at home. I think there's a good chance we could do it again. But as you said, as we touched on earlier, we need to be better than we were this weekend down in Sheffield. But there's plenty of opportunities to learn. There's plenty of footage now we can watch back of our games, see how we played and find out, okay, what did we do well? What can we improve on for next time?
And yeah, I think for me, the thing we need to establish is try and get our inside presence. Like, again, Clifton and Farrell, that combination, that will never happen again. Like, it's impossible for that to happen again. Especially against a team like Sheffield, I thought that would be one area we would potentially dominate. Maybe they played that a little bit smaller, but they should do better.
Yeah, it was definitely an area that Sheffield seemed to target in their last game, because if you think about the Surrey game and the Plymouth game, both games started with Farrell getting the basket quite quickly, and that kind of set a very good tempo and momentum for the Bigs going forward. Because they took that away, that disrupted the entire flow. So the question now is, we now know their game plan. It worked one time. How do we make sure it doesn't happen again? And if Farrell isn't getting it going, we have Clifton off the bench, who brings a very different skill set in a very similar position to Farrell. And that means we've got that versatility there, where if one isn't working, someone else can step up.
Definitely. And hopefully with the double game, we get a big crowd in there and it'll be a phenomenal atmosphere. And what will hopefully be the first of many double headers with fixtures or watch-alongs and whatever else, because that's what's really special about this new facility, is that opportunity has been created for this. And having those double headers is only going to be great for the team and great for the sport.
Oh, 100%. I'm really looking forward to being part of it and hopefully being around it from the moment the doors open to seeing the women's game on the floor, and then also being courtside with the men as they fight back as well. It's going to be really fascinating to see how many people will come to that one, because that actually is our first Sunday game as well. So all of our games before this point, aside from our one test game that we did hold, have all been midweek games. It'll be Wednesdays or it'll be Thursdays. This will be our first weekend game. And if we don't sell out, I'll be very surprised. But it also should be interesting to see how we do for both men and women, because I hope we get a good crowd for both, because they're both going to be good games.
Right, Mitchell, thanks for your time tonight, man. You've got a busy, busy week ahead with travels across Europe. I hope your passport's all up to date. I hope you've got your travel insurance sorted, and I hope you've packed your spare Gladiators underwear, as that's going to be needed. So, yeah, man, thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you.
Not a problem at all. Well, we're glad to be back on again. It's going to be a fun trip to Romania. A long day of travel today. I think we've got 14 hours worth of travel tomorrow. But once we're there. The countdown begins.
Right. Everyone, thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of GladCast.